Off the Ball, GAA.
This year I just had a lot of motivation to right the wrongs of last year, because I didn't have a good year last year personally, so that was a big thing for me.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're welcome back. Now, Rashida Adeleke will miss the upcoming World Championships in Tokyo, and her season is now over. She's had a number of injury setbacks this year and pulled the plug on Tokyo via an Instagram post on Monday night. To discuss this, athletics writer Cathal Dennehy is with us on the line. Evening, Cathal. How are you doing?
Evening, Owen. I'm good.
So given the season Rashida has been having, I don't suspect this news comes as a huge surprise.
I think it's a mild surprise, but not a huge shock. You know, I think one reason I think a lot of people thought, you know, Rashida's going to go to the Worlds. Obviously, it's the biggest stage in the sport this year, the biggest stage outside the Olympics, the World Championships. But also there is a huge incentive financially for Rashida to show up at the World Championships. You know, Nike has reduction clauses built into their contracts. They can go up to about 50%. So Rashida could lose up to 50% of her annual income from Nike this year by not competing at the World Championships. And I think, you know, some people might have been hypothesizing, saying, okay, she's not going great, she doesn't want to, you know, run below par on the world stage. But many athletes have done that specifically because of that reason in the past years. And I think the fact she's taken this decision, you know, 3-4 weeks out from the World Championships shows us that it's a serious problem and it's a physical problem. And Rashida is struggling right now physically. And I think that has been clear, I think, to look at her races throughout the year, even though until recent weeks she was quite reticent, I suppose, about coming out with the reasons perhaps that she was not running the way we're used to seeing her running in the last couple of years.
I did not really realise the reduction clauses could be that severe. So everything, given she's been a professional now for a couple of years, everything would have been geared towards making it to the start line and hopefully just scraping through to a final.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the way the business of athletics is set up, you know, Nike or Adidas or all these brands, they only really care about the major championships. That's where all the medal bonuses are. There are bonuses for winning a Diamond League and things like the final and running national records and things, but the big hefty money comes at the World Championships, the sport's great exposition. So a couple of years ago, you had an example of Shaunae Miller-Weibo coming back from maternity leave, and she'd only given birth, I think, 4 months before, and she ran at the World Championships in Budapest and, you know, trailed home in her heat. She was obviously not in form to compete, and it was a kind of a lovely, heartwarming story. But of course, the people who probably understand the economics of the sport a little better realise, like, she was probably going to, you know, that's probably worth six figures to her to actually show up an athlete of her stature. So for Rashida, there would have been a big incentive to even make the World Championships, even just to get knocked out in the heat or semi-final. The fact she hasn't done that tells me that they very much put her long-term interests ahead of her short-term financial interests. And I think that is clearly probably a good decision, because, you know, I think it's been obvious to everyone who's been watching her run this year, it's not the normal Rashida. She's been way off what she normally has been, over 200 and 400. And she's been fighting against the tide, I suppose, trying to get her body right, trying to get her mind right and do something at the World Championships. But eventually, you know, there are no miracles on ice in this sport. It just, if you haven't done the work, you're not going to produce the performance. And you might fool yourself 2 or 3 or 4 months out from the championship thinking it's going to come together, but 3 weeks out, there's no miracles in that amount of time. So I think ultimately the toughest decision long term will prove to be the right one for Rashida.
What do we know about the injury? What has she actually revealed?
Well, we don't really actually know the specifics of this injury. You know, Rashida's been quite guarded, I suppose, throughout the year. I talked to her a couple of times over at the Diamond League in China back in April, that was, and then again at the World Relays a few weeks after that in May. She certainly made no mention of any injuries throughout that, but the fact she skipped the indoor season, and, you know, they said they were doing things a little differently, building up that kind of endurance base, trying to just be fully firing on all cylinders by the time she got to mid-September. That has obviously backfired, but yeah, she basically, we know she pulled out of Nationals, we know she pulled out of Monaco. She did come out and just say, you know, around the time of Nationals, that she was needing to give her body a bit of a break and get it right again. It obviously hasn't worked. The fact she's pulled the plug on the World Championships now, to me, signals that it's quite severe. She mentioned that she's had different setbacks throughout the year without specifying what those injuries were. And the people I talked to in Irish Athletics, to be honest, also don't seem to, on the whole, know what the actual specific injury is. To me, that's probably something Rashida probably needs to look at in the future, or should look at for her own benefit, not for anyone else or those of us in the media, purely because when she didn't mention any of those issues, you know, it's August now and we're kind of learning of these injury problems publicly for the first time. and that's 8 months into the year. And I think if she was to come out in maybe March, April, May, June, and just sort of say, look, I've had a few troubles, it would sort of stop that void existing, because into that void that she left for a few months, I think a lot of people, you could see it in the comments online, various social media platforms were kind of having a pop and, you know, looking to cut her down to size, almost asking whether it's a psychological issue, asking whether she's getting distracted, asking whether she needs to change coaches, all this kind of noise and theories bubbled up in that void. So I think there probably is a lesson there for Rashida in the future that, look, if you say you're struggling with an injury, if you specify what the injury is, no one's going to, you know, lose confidence in you. If anything, the public, and there is such massive interest in her in Ireland, they will understand, you know, why they're not seeing the performances perhaps that they've become used to. But it is very normal, I suppose, to have an issue like this. You know, Rashida is 22 now, she's almost 23. She has kind of gone against the grain really in recent years in terms of her progression. She's beaten the usual curve that athletes have between 18 and 22. And by that, I mean, she basically had no big setbacks. This is her first big setback year, her first year of chronic injury. And I'm sure she'll learn a lot from it, but like I said, there probably will need to be something looking at the kind of a medical backup around her. You know, even just reading about Keely Hodgkinson, who just came back from a year out there, you know, and absolutely smashed it in Poland last weekend. And, you know, they've gone to the extent of literally having a physio check her entire body before she steps on the track to do any workout. And again, afterwards, you know, talking about her like she's a Formula One car, essentially, her coaches. And I think that is the level of, you know, I suppose, attention to detail that the biggest champions in the sport are doing. And I don't know if that's the case or not for Rashida, but I think anytime things go wrong like this and you pick up an injury, everything suddenly becomes up for review. And I'm sure that will be the way it is for her. She did have lower back issues going back 2 years ago to Budapest. They definitely hampered her back then. She hasn't spoken about them, at least publicly anyway, since. So I guess most of us are left to guess what the specific problem actually is.
Is the case generally with Coach Flo that he operates with athletes who keep things quiet, and it could be a bit of a diktat from him?
It could be, yeah, yeah. I mean, Rashida looks to Coach Flo like, you know, a father in terms of the trust she puts in him. And, you know, there's no reason not to do that. He's delivered her, you know, from the age of 18 up to 22 and fourth and two global finals, you know, and made her the athlete she is. But yeah, I think, you know, everyone kind of understands, I suppose, that Coach Flo is kind of, in a nice way, a dictator when it comes to training and details and training camps and what flights you're getting, things like that. And maybe he feels he has to be. He's kind of spanning both the realms of college coach, a very successful one, and of course, professional coach, coached the Olympic 100 meter champion last year. So I guess, yeah, he does have a proven track record. So you can understand why the athletes listen to him. But there certainly has been a bit of, I suppose, trouble in paradise in that training group this year, given Dina Asher-Smith, the British star, the former world 200 meter champion, she went over there. She was improving, but she left midsummer, and she's been very coy, I suppose, in interviews, saying she's not really going to speak about the reason she left until the end of the season. So I suppose watch that space in terms of what she says, maybe come the world championships. But yeah, I think, like, you know, they maybe don't say too much. Perhaps it might be a thing to do with the management as well of Rashida. You know, she's managed by a Swedish management company, one of the biggest in the sport. But I would say perhaps the only downside perhaps to that is that maybe they don't fully have an understanding of just how much public interest there is in Rashida back here. And I suppose how hungry the public are just to take an interest in her career and understand what exactly is going on. So I think that may be a kind of a work on for the future.
Yeah. And look, it's not necessarily an automatic negative, but there really is very little Irish involvement with Rashida at this stage in her career, as you say, on a public relations level. That's coming from Sweden, as you say, and then the actual nuts and bolts, the important stuff, is coming from the United States, and essentially one coach. Like, to what extent is there, and this is kind of only kind of out of interest, there's no suggestion that this is a reason why she's had a difficult season, but to what extent is that basically it? Is there a wider team of people maybe connected to Athletics Ireland that we don't know about?
There would be a team, yeah, at the Sport Ireland Institute, and Rashida was heavily reliant on the Sport Ireland Institute before she went to the US, and she did intermittently check in with them. Anytime she's home, she goes in, she does her gym workouts. I know Martina McCarthy has played a big role there in kind of working with her when she's been back home. But yeah, I think, you know, so I think really she has two medical camps. She'll have her medical camp in Texas, and then she has the medical team when she's back home. And I believe she was back home in March as well. I think people were kind of wondering if that was something to do with a medical reason. And I think when you talk to a lot of athletes, you know, as much as the Americans like to say it's the greatest country in the world, we know where their healthcare lies. And I think when you talk to a lot of athletes, either in the US who've been in college or run as professionals over there, the medical care generally is just not up to the scratch of what you tend to have in Ireland and Europe, you know. So it would be no surprise to me if Rashida needed to come home to get the proper medical care and the proper attention to detail she probably needs to stay on track. But again, I think that's something now with this season kind of gone down the tubes, essentially, in terms of what she was hoping for anyway. I'm sure that's something that will be reviewed, and perhaps, you know, someone from Athletics Ireland might have to step up and sit down and have a tough conversation with her about who exactly is her medical team. Because like I said, looking across the water at Keely Hodgkinson, a brilliant professional group who are very open about how they do things. You know, her coach was given an interview last week where they were talking about having that physio checker. That's, I would suppose, be the gold standard, you know, that Rashida has been checked before doing every track session. Obviously, that takes a lot of resources and investment, but that might be something in light of this year that they look at going forward.
The John Giles era with Off the Ball has come to an emotional end.
Off the Ball wouldn't exist the way it does without the existence of John Giles.
Helped by a plethora of John's friends and family within and without football, we pay tribute to the great man in front of a selected audience.
So we are here tonight to celebrate not just the impact John has had on Off the Ball over the last 20 years or so, but really the unrivaled impact that he's had on Irish football going back 70 years.
This week in the OTB football feed, look out for the full John Giles tribute night.
If we didn't say John was the best player I've ever played with, he would tell you why he was.
Eddie, I might come to that in a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
We speak to John himself about his 7 decades in football, former Leeds teammates Eddie Gray and Joe Jordan, plus tributes from Liam Brady, Brian Kerr and many more.
As you say, it's what, 20 odd?
23 years.
20 years. Well, they did well to put up with me for 20 years.
Released in 3 parts, we'll drop the first part of the John Giles tribute night on Tuesday morning. And to mark the occasion, it will be available for free for a limited time only. The John Giles tribute, only available in your OTB football feed.
Has injury been an issue for other people in that camp? I mean, you maybe, Dean Asher-Smith maybe has left for different reasons. We can't speculate as to what they might actually be, but is the rest of the camp healthy, the rest of his athletes in good shape? Because there's every chance here that, you know, the changes that she's actually spoken about with regards to her training program post Paris might actually just take a couple of months, maybe even longer than a year to properly bed in and for her body to get used to that.
Yeah, I think, well, the 3 big stars that Coach Flo would have are Rashida, Dean Asher-Smith and Julian Alfred. And Julian Alfred, curiously enough, is actually injured at the moment as well. She pulled out of a couple of races, I think, in August, but they said it's nothing major. And she was flying, to be honest, all summer. And Dean Asher-Smith early in the summer was going well as well when Rashida wasn't going well. So, yeah, I suppose if it was a horse stable or a horse trainer, you wouldn't be super worried saying the stable's out of form. But yeah, some of the athletes break down, and obviously, and I think that's inevitable. You know, you look at Sydney McLaughlin Navarone, missed the last World Championships. You know, there's a lot of the star names this year. Jakob Ingebrigtsen is struggling to get back. He hasn't raced really yet this year at all. So it's normal. I think that's the first thing to say. It is very normal that athletes at this level who walk such a fine line between peak fitness and complete physical breakdown, you know, often those two things happen a day apart. Like, so it's no surprise that Rashida would struggle with injuries, but I think given she didn't exactly specify the injury and she kind of referred to multiple issues cropping up, that does point to something more perhaps structural. Normally that's either to do with the training or it's to do with your own physique, you know, and Coach Flo often did mention in the past that she does have that kind of curvature in her lower back, basically, that she kind of starts leaning forward in races, and the importance of core work trying to, I suppose, eliminate that. So I think all those little 1%ers that an athlete has to do that they don't really want to do, they all become so much more important now. And I'm sure if she didn't learn that lesson before, I'm sure she'll be fully aware of it now as she looks to next year, because however disappointing a 4th place finish might have been, and it was heartbreaking for her in Budapest and in Paris, like not being there at all and having to watch the World Champs on TV will hurt a whole lot more.
Obviously, we don't know for sure the new thing that she and Coach Flo have been working on that she mentioned in Oslo a little while ago. But what we can do is maybe look at maybe what she said last year and things that she needs to improve on herself, and that last 50 metres maybe, and the strength of that closing section of her race, that seemed to be something that they were both on the same page about publicly last year, about something that they need to work on. How big a change is that for a 400 metre runner, Cathal, to be able to focus on that and to maybe change the endurance level that you're actually putting in training?
Yeah, it is huge. You know, it's completely different, really, what they were trying to fix. The work you have to do for that last 50 metres in the 400, that real speed endurance moment is massive. It's all the horrible work, the cross-country runs, the 600 metre reps, the things sprinters love to hate. However, Coach Flo's group is a speed-based group. That's a big point, you know, and some people do wonder how well can he actually coach the 400. I think when it comes to the 1 and 2, his credentials are pretty much well established, so no one could question that. But, you know, he did very much take an attitude with Rashida that she's going to come at the 400 from a speed base. You know, Rashida ran a windy sub 11 second 100 metres before, just showing remarkable speed. You know, Coach Flo has long believed that she can break 22 seconds in the 200, which would really put her into medal territory if she could do that at global level. They went that approach with her the last few years, essentially trying to build an athlete who would run the first 300 metres so well that the last 100 metres wouldn't matter. And there is a good example of this in the two-time Olympic champion, Shauna Miller-Weibo. She was very much built like Rashida, tall, slender athlete, brilliant 200 metre speed. I think she medaled at the World Championships, did Miller-Weibo at one stage. And, you know, Miller-Weibo would just kill her opposition in the first 300 and then hang on for the last 100. And talking to one or two sprint coaches, some of them feel that is actually the best way for Rashida to go, to just lean into her strength and just try to strengthen her weaknesses. But I think this year they very much targeted that last 100, trying to make her stronger. And, you know, it could be that the difference in training and the difference in approach has led to some issues. It could also be purely coincidental, or it can be something off the track as well. You know, if there's life stressors, that can all start leaking into things like your sleep, your recovery, and ultimately injury.
As you mentioned, she turns 23 next week. At what stage does a 400 metre athlete peak?
I would say generally in the mid-20s, like around the 25, 26, 27 is when you probably see the majority tending to run their personal best. Yeah, but they can obviously still run personal best up into their early 30s generally. So Rashida will have, if she stays healthy, 10 years more stretched out in front of her, certainly two more Olympic cycles. So she is still a work in progress, but, you know, we have to remember too, she was a prodigy underage and she has been in this system now for, 4.5 years over in Texas. So you would imagine that they are kind of getting to the point where they need to be in terms of that Project 400 being finalized. She only switched to it early 2021 and only properly in 2022. So it is still a work in progress. And I think age is obviously on her side. That's the positive thing. You know, I think if Rashida was 28 or 29, I think we would have seen her at the World Championships this year, because you're kind of trying to cash in your chips, whatever you've got left, and take your chances. But I think they've taken the long-term decision. They know that there's 4 or 5 more World Championships ahead of her, and they've just said, let's just step away from this. You don't need that bad experience of going to Tokyo. Let's get your body right. And I think it was interesting as well in her statement that she said, you know, I'll take this time to heal, recover, and do what's necessary so I can show up next season as my best self, mind and body. And I think it was interesting, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but the fact she put in the mind there as well, because I think Rashida, like I said, she's very open in terms of giving time to the media, but, you know, sometimes she probably doesn't reveal too much of herself the way we maybe became used to with, say, like Sakira McGeehan or Thomas Barr and that. And I think at some point we'll probably learn exactly what sort of mental pressures Rashida was under in the last year, because it was, you know, there's murals been painted around of her around Dublin. There's such a level of national interest in her that hasn't really been there in Irish athletics since Sonia Sullivan, even though we've had world champions in that time and European champions. So in a way, the attention and the interest and the pressure has almost outstripped her achievements because of how good she was at such a young age. And I think that just creates a bit of a burden. And obviously you're talking 6-figure contracts with Nike, you're talking Sports Council funding. There is just, and you're talking just every time she steps on a track, there is this huge audience of Irish people. And even if they're not watching live, they'll be noticing her result on social media. And that is an awfully tough thing for a woman of 21 or 22 to deal with. So I think you can't discount that factor as well. And I think, you know, I think the hope everyone will have is that physically she's right, but also mentally that she's out there enjoying it. Because I think clearly this year, you know, when she stepped on the track, physically she wasn't right. And knowing Rashida and how competitive she is, there's just no way mentally she was enjoying it this year either.
It's a really good point. And maybe the downside of what Paris represented last year, like, I was in the stadium for her heat and it felt like the Irish was the second best represented nation in the stands. after France, every single Irish medal hope just came with a huge amount of colour and noise and support from Irish people. It was like London 2012. It felt very much like a home games, which was fantastic, but it also comes with this element of pressure. And I know you've been writing about this over the last week or so as well, Cathal, the idea of the post-Olympics come down. Now, granted, a lot of it just looks like bad luck when you throw in the likes of Daniel Whiffen and his appendicitis and Reese McLenaghan and his shoulder injury. But a lot of the main characters from Ireland's Paris 2024 experience have just had bad years this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you go through all of them, I did a feature for The Independent last weekend and just sort of, I was actually surprised. It was kind of something I felt and sensed that a lot of the medalists and the kind of top four, top five athletes were struggling. And then when you actually looked at it and went through one by one, you know, in terms of Mona McSherry, Daniel Whiffen, both struggled for different reasons of illness come the World Championships. And then you just go like the rowers, obviously, it's probably too early to gauge, but they're obviously in a transition period to that heavyweight category. Reese McLenaghan's shoulder surgery, like lots of athletes struggling. And I think that's only normal, really, because there's so much physically and mentally and emotionally that goes into an Olympic year that, you know, athletes always talk when their break is finished and they have to get back to work. It's the hardest time ever in their careers post-Olympics to get back to work for the following year. And, you know, Rashida has made enough money, I'd say, in the sport and has enough endorsements and sort of public profile that, you know, finances aren't going to be the thing that govern her decision making in the years ahead. She wants to get a global medal. She hasn't yet won a global championship medal, which, you know, she's won an NCAA title, European silver medal. She's helped Ireland to a medal at the World Relays, but she wants a world or Olympic medal, you know, in the 400 metres. And everyone knows, especially her, that she's capable of that. I think it is something that she will bounce back from, obviously. You know, she's a long career stretched out in front of her, but I think decision making is now going to be key. I would expect her to stay with Coach Flo, you know, given the jobs he's done in her so far, and she seems to have a great setup in Texas. But it might just be those little one percenters that when they sit down to analyze just exactly why she got injured, that she might end up going, you know, further down the line of kind of Keely Hodgkinson in terms of just being absolutely fastidious and rigorous with checking everything before she gets on the track to understand why exactly she has broken down this year.
It's also worth considering the knock-on impact for Team Ireland going to Tokyo this year. And you look across the relay team that we're also familiar with at this point, and Charlie Maudsley, Phil Healy, Sophie Becker, they've all had their challenges in 2025 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Phil Healy, you know, has been struggling with Hashimoto's disease again this year, in terms of an autoimmune condition that affects her thyroid levels and just trying to balance that medication that she's on for that. Sophie Becker had a broken navicular earlier on in the year. She missed a number of months with that. And, you know, so a lot of the athletes are struggling in terms of reaching the same heights they were in 2024, which is a measure of just how high they climbed as well in 2024. But I think in the absence of Rashida and without that kind of number four woman running the kind of times she needs to be running, Ireland have like zero chance of a relay medal looking towards the World Championships, because they need Rashida. And if you swap Rashida out and her usual 49 second leg, realistically the athlete who's going to be coming in this year, you're giving away about 3 to 4 seconds most likely. So that just moves you from, you know, a kind of a top four or five team down to like a team that's struggling to make the final and most likely wouldn't make the final. Now, they've done it before without her, so I wouldn't put it past them. But in terms of any medal talk when it comes to the World Championships, I think that needs to be completely tempered and eliminated, really, because I don't see any medals, unfortunately, for Ireland at the World Championships.
Yeah. What's the most optimistic story going there? Is it Mark English?
That's one of them. I think Kate O'Connor is the best chance of pulling something off. You know, I think she's an athlete who is very much on track to hit about 6,600 points, maybe even closer to 6,700. She gets 6-6. That would certainly, I think, put her in the top five or six in the heptathlon, which would be a remarkable achievement for her in a year when she's already won two indoor medals. But, you know, the heptathlon is a tricky event in terms of if you can foul out in the long jump and your competition's over, you can hit the first hurdle in the first event and your entire competition is over. So calamity does happen, and especially in an event where so many athletes break down with injury, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Kate O'Connor was knocking on the door of those podium places. But like I said, when you look at it in terms of cold objective numbers, you probably maybe have her ranked sixth or seventh going in. That in itself would be a brilliant performance. And if she got some luck from elsewhere and some things happening, you never know, she might just sneak a medal. But as I said, as you look to the Irish team, you know, you're talking Mark English, most likely result would be a semi-final, but is an outside bet for the final. Sarah Healy could make the women's 1500 metre final as well. But again, you're talking top eight, top 10 is the kind of hope there rather than any talk of the medals. So I think it's important just to temper that going in with the expectation that Irish athletes are not going to be really in a position they were in Budapest and in Paris.
Cathal Dennehy, great to chat to you as always. Thanks a million.
Cheers, Owen.